29, and then from Matthew 6, and then from Luke 12. So Psalm 49, and you'll find that on page 472 of the Pew Bible. And let us ask for God's blessing upon His Word as we look to it. O Lord our God, as we come now to Your Holy Word, we seek Your Spirit to guide our thoughts and our words and our deeds, that we would be obedient to that Word, that You would open that Word to our hearts, that You would lead us to be more and more like Christ as we apply that Word in our daily lives. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 49. Excuse me. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they call lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. And then turning over to Matthew chapter 6. And you'll find that on page 811 of your Pew Bible. And I'll be reading verses 19 through 24, and particularly concentrating this morning on 19 through 21. Jesus, preaching the Sermon on the Mount here, continues and says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And then turning over to Luke chapter 12. And that's on page 871 of the Pew Bible. And we'll be reading verses 13 through 34. Jesus giving a parable here. And we begin with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, that is to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." May God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. What's the most important thing in your life? If you were to go out and take a survey, go around the street and ask various people, you'd get a variety of answers. For some, it might be their family. For others, it might be our country. For others, it might be a home, it might be a car, a boat, jewelry, bank accounts, stock portfolios. There's a lot of different things that might be mentioned. Well, in our passage for today, Jesus teaches us what must be the most important thing in the life of a Christian. And so he begins by instructing us not to set our heart on gathering and hoarding earthly treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now this, of course, is quite different than what the world around us says we should do. And if you watch the TV, you see shows about the rich and the famous and all the things they acquire and the earthly treasures that they have, the huge homes. Some people have two or three huge homes in various parts of the world, the big yachts, all the fancy things that life can bring to you here in this life. But all those things deteriorate, Jesus tells us. Moths can eat up your fancy clothes. I don't know if you've ever seen the effect of a moth in a closet can do quite a bit of damage rather quickly to some really expensive, fancy things that mean a lot to you. Rust can destroy the most expensive Maserati or Lotus or whatever those fancy, high-priced cars might be. Even like they destroy our old clunkers. It doesn't pay attention to the price. Think about when you buy a new car. If you bought one, you know that as soon as you drive it off the lot, it's worth about a third or so less than it was the minute before you drove it off the lot. You won't get the same back for it, unless it has a money-back guarantee, which some do for a few days. But you won't get it back if you try to resell. So these things are perishable. They're all perishable. We accumulate them, but they can easily be gone. They can be lost. Thieves can break into your home and clean out all of the valuable possessions you have in just a few minutes. There's other outside forces that can take them away. Our nation's been through, and the world has been through, a recession. And if you have money invested in the stock market, you know how easily that can be depleted. How easily it goes away. It's no longer there. People in Britain now are worried because so many have invested in British Petroleum stock as the basis of their retirement. And the stock's down 40%. Think of the value of a house. In many parts of our country, the value of a house has dropped dramatically. We can be thankful for the mercy of God in not bringing so much of that in our area. Think of storms that destroy our possessions, the hurricanes that have devastated the Gulf Coast and Florida and various places. Think how quickly all those things that we may have worked hard to accumulate can be gone. And then, as we read in Psalm 49, when we experience physical death, all those things we've accumulated through our life go to someone else. We don't take them with us. Think of all the treasures that were put in the pyramids in Egypt when those kings that made them died. Did they take those treasures with them? No. Those treasures were dug up by somebody else and put in a museum. They didn't take them when they died. They went to someone else. And so Jesus teaches us that a Christian's heart should be set on laying up heavenly treasures. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. And so we should focus our thoughts on those blessings that God grants us that are eternal, that will not be destroyed, that will not be taken away. We have a foretaste of that even now. We have the forgiveness of our sins, and we read about that in Romans just a few minutes ago. We've been reconciled to God. We've been pardoned because of Christ and His work, His perfect life that He lived, His willingness to go to the cross to pay the penalty for the sin of all His people, and His victory over sin and death as He rose that third day. If you're trusting in Christ, that forgiveness is yours. And no one can take that away. And it will not deteriorate. It will not rust. The moth will not eat your forgiveness. The thieves cannot take your forgiveness. A criminal may take your life. He cannot take your forgiveness away if you truly trust in Christ. That is yours forever. We have the blessing of answered prayer. As we come to God through Christ and trust in Him to carry out His good and perfect will in our lives, we have the blessing of knowing that He hears and He answers our prayer. Now, sometimes we may get a little frustrated because the answer isn't always what we think we should get, because we're not perfect. But God is. And so the answer He gives us is the right answer for us at the time He gives us. And we need to remember that as we pray to God. Our access to the throne of grace through prayer has been opened by Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God the Father as the mediator between you and me and God. All of us have a mediator, the perfect one. And God sees His perfection, and God answers our prayers through Him. We experience the love of God, that love that is unsurpassed. And that can't be taken away from us either. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life, life that does not go away because of the love, the infinite love of God. When we die, Christ promised in His Word that there is a mansion waiting for us in heaven. God has prepared a place for us that far surpasses any imagination we can have. And all will be perfect there. And that's ours. That's yours and that's mine if we're trusting in Christ. And we know it's there. No one will take that away from us. We have the blessing of eternal peace with God through Christ. We are no longer God's enemies because Christ has removed the enmity between us. And we have the blessing of the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. That Spirit who gave us life that we might trust in Christ, who gave us that gift of faith to believe, that we would confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, and who now is within us to make plain to us the Holy Word of God. He is there to help us understand God's Word and apply it in our daily lives. And so these treasures endure forever. These aren't like the treasures of this earth to pass away and go to someone else and deteriorate. But they are ours forever. Our inheritance won't fade away. God, in His mercy and His grace, has blessed us with that inheritance. And we read about that in 1 Peter chapter 1. We read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And when that last final day comes, it will be clear to all that God has faithfully kept the promises He has made to you and me. If we trust in Christ, those promises are ours. They are eternal promises. They are yours as you trust in Him. And I call on you to trust in Him, to acknowledge Him and to recognize where your treasure truly is. So what should be our attitude toward our possessions then? Well, first of all, our life is not to be absorbed in gaining earthly possessions. Our life is not to be absorbed in gaining earthly possessions. We're to reject the worldly attitude, which sadly you will find taught even in some churches this day, that what we have in the way of worldly possessions determines how good a person we are. If you don't have much in the way of worldly possessions, you're less of a person in the sight of God. The world teaches that. The world teaches that we need to look up to these folks that have the 3 or 4 houses around the world with 20 bathrooms in each and a staff to clean them. And the Word of God tells us, no, that's not your goal in life. We need to learn to be content with what God has given to us and not covet the things that we do not have. It's hard in our world today because, of course, we are bombarded with ads for this and for that, and all those things look so good. They're well presented, all those ads. Well presented. And we think, oh, if I just had this or that or the other thing. And sometimes we are tempted to just gather them together and to hoard them and to say, look at what I've got. I've worked hard and I've got all these things. Look at it. And to boast in our wealth instead of boasting in God. We need to rejoice with others when God blesses them materially and pray that they would demonstrate the love of Christ in their use of what God has blessed them with. And so when we see someone blessed, it shouldn't cause us to covet or to feel less of a person or to feel ashamed or to feel that there's something wrong with me, that this person has that and I don't. No, rejoice with them. And pray that God would use them and that God would enable them to use those good gifts in His service. We need to recognize that there is nothing evil about having possessions. And it's important to understand that. You look through the Old Testament, and you think about the inheritance of that promised land and the possession of that and the blessing that that was. And it pointed forward, of course, to that eternal home that we have awaiting us. Money is not the root of all evil. Sometimes we get that wrong. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all sorts of evil. And so we need to keep that focus in mind. It's the love of money. It's the idea that I've got to get more, 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 because so I can have more of this and more of that and more of that. And it's always the worldly things that we're thinking about. Now, having wealth is not evil. And you think about folks like Abraham and folks like that, Lot, various ones in the Old Testament, very, very rich people. And yet through Abraham, all the world is blessed. And so God blessed him with the use of that. Think of those that were given the talents in the parable by Jesus. And they went out and they used them. At least 2 of the 3 did. And it wasn't evil for them to gain back and to double what was given to them. It's the love of money that's the root of all sorts of evil. And so if your focus is on that, then it has become your God and has replaced God on the throne of your life. Remember where your possessions come from. We began our worship this morning by singing from Psalm 24. And that's a psalm that very clearly tells us where all the things we have come from. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellings belong to the Lord. It's the Lord's. God is the creator. God is the owner. The creator owns what he creates. And God has created the entire universe. So, he owns the entire universe. Everything that we have, everything you see in front of you, belongs to the Lord. It belongs to him. And he has given it to you to use to advance his kingdom in his service. That's why you have it. For some he gives much, for some he gives less. The call is the same. Use that in a way that honors God and advances his kingdom. God gives you the gifts that you put to use in your work, that you use to provide the things you and your family need each day. And so we should give thanks for the work that we have and for the gifts that God gives us that enable us to do that work and rejoice in the opportunities God has given us. God has a reason and a purpose for giving you what you have. He's made you a steward of part of his creation. It may be larger, it may be small. It's up to him how much you are made steward over. And we need not worry if one has more than another. Your job is to glorify God as you use what he provides to you, to enjoy the blessings he gives you, and rejoice in his great goodness to you who once were his enemy, but who he has now blessed in so many ways. And so our goal as Christians must never be to simply hoard wealth and possessions for ourselves. And we read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, further on, verses 17 through 19. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. We're called to be prudent with the money we're blessed with. And so we need to be careful how we use what God does give us. We're not to just throw away money, so we won't be accused of hoarding. Would you use wisdom when deciding how to put what God provides to good use? If you look at the end of Proverbs, it speaks about the blessing of the godly wife who takes care of her home, who buys and sells with wisdom, who is instructing, who is faithful in all of those things that God calls her to do, and is a real blessing to her family. That's a good example of how we are to make use of the things God gives us. Our attitude is what is crucial toward our things. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's no excuse for a Christian letting others starve, for example, so he can hoard for himself. Yes, we take care of our families first. But we don't hoard and keep others from eating. Darwin's theory of natural selection, in which the fittest survive and flourish and the weak perish, may be the philosophy of many in our society today, but it's not taught in Scripture as the way Christians are to look at and interact with others. As Christians, we're made part of a body. And we are to uphold and support and help one another and encourage one another and enable one another to be productive in service to the Lord. And so we've seen Christ's command not to lay up treasures on earth. And let us adopt a proper biblical attitude in our hearts toward what God has given us. Let us use them to advance His kingdom. And let us look forward to the greater things we have with Him, some which we have already. How do you look upon your money, your home, your car, all those things? Do you see them as blessings from God to use for His glory and honor? Do you see yourself as a steward entrusted with a portion of God's universe to use in His service? Do you make decisions regarding your possessions after prayerful consideration of what would be the wisest use for them? Are you tempted by the world to hoard, to gather worldly goods for yourself? Are you afraid to use the resources God has provided because you don't trust God really to provide what you'll need in the future if you do use what you have now? That can be a real temptation to us as well. How much do you truly trust God? Where is your treasure? Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that you would make us wise in the use of what you have blessed us with. You've blessed us with much, and we thank you for that. And we pray, O God, that you would grant us your Spirit to lead us, that we would be good stewards over all that you give. Help us not to hoard. Help us to use what you've given in a way that acknowledges your sovereignty over it, in a way that brings honor and glory to your name, in a way that presents a godly witness to the world, in a way that builds up the body of Christ. Bless us, O God, as we do that. Forgive us where we've sinned, O God, for we confess that it is easy to be drawn into the philosophies of the world and to be drawn in by all the advertising and things that go on around us to covet. And we confess that sometimes we give in to that, and we pray that you'd deliver us from it. Bless us, O God, in our service to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.